Okay, so we started last week my sermon series called Living Biblically, based or inspired by that new TV show that is on Monday nights at 9:30. And last week we talked about how God created or made a covenant with Abraham, made a covenant with his chosen people, the Jews, through Abraham. This week, God, through Moses, delivers the paperwork of that covenant, the Ten Commandments. Those begin with the ten major rules and decrees and regulations. And then he follows it with Leviticus. In Leviticus, God gives his chosen people the fine print. Don't you love fine print? I mean, we don't pay any attention to fine print, right? Anybody bought a pillow recently? You know that tag that sticks off the end? Isn't that irritating? First thing I do when I get home is cut it right off. Anybody ever read the tag? I don't even know what it says. But I love it. Yeah, it's like when you buy your coffee, right? Caution, it's hot. And then you watch, sometimes when you're watching, it's funny, as you get older, your tastes toward television programs, they're just so smart. They tend to particularly address your issues. So all the programs that I watch have nothing but pharmaceutical advertisements on it, right, for all my aches and pains. But at the end of the commercial, often you'll see quickly the list of side effects, the fine print, so to speak. I took a couple of them this morning because it's not funny, but it's funny. This is true. I'm not making this up. It says, after taking Ambien, you may get up out of bed while not being fully awake and do an activity you did not know you were doing. The next morning, you may forget that you did what you did during the night. As far as those activities you don't remember, driving a car, making and eating food, talking on the phone, having sex, and walking around. Awesome. Gotta love the fine print. And there's, I know there's a lot of people that struggle with this. People want to give up smoking, right? They have this thing called Chantix. And Chantix is a pharmaceutical that's supposed to help you stop the urge to smoke. Well, some of the fine print when it comes to Chantix are depression, hostility, and suicidal thoughts. Serious neuropsychiatric events, skin reactions, cardiovascular events, night terrors, insomnia, nervous system disorders, and eye disorders. I don't know about you, but I'll just continue to smoke. Seems healthier. Fine print. We get to Leviticus, and Leviticus contains the bulk of the system of laws, the fine print under which the Hebrew people, the Hebrew nation, lived. You could say, at the time, this was the ultimate guide to living biblically. Verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God. So do not act like the people in Egypt, where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan, where I am taking you. You must not imitate their way of life. You must obey all my regulations. And be careful to obey my decrees, for I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord. Now in chapter 18, he then goes on to give a long list of forbidden sexual practices. He says very clearly, don't have sex with a close relative, with your mother, with your mother's daughter, with your granddaughter, with your stepsister, with your aunt, with your daughter-in-law, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, why focus on sex? A couple of reasons. Number one, all of these forbidden sexual practices were being practiced back in Egypt. Were being practiced among Israel's neighbors, the Canaanites. They did those things. God did not want his people to do those things. God does not want us to follow the ways of the world. God wants us to follow the ways of the Lord. And he knows better than anybody that the world is fallen. The world in general is not following the ways of God. Now, I know sometimes people get really uncomfortable when we talk about sex in church. Oh, my gosh. Although it's great if somebody ever asks you, so what did your pastor talk about on Sunday? You can really throw them a loop and say, sex. It's a great conversation start. But I wonder sometimes if we forget God created sex. You see, too many people, I think, picture God as some sort of cranky old guy who doesn't know how to have any fun. Don't do this. Don't do that. Get off my lawn. That's not true. God loves to have fun. Have you ever seen a duck-billed platypus? Tell me God doesn't like to have fun. How about a cat video? Anybody watched a cat video before? God created the duck-billed platypus. He created cats. He created video. No, God loves to have, he created joy. He created laughter. He created fun. He created us. And when he created humankind, when he created Adam, in Genesis chapter 2, he very quickly realized, he says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I need to make a helper who is just right for him. And right after he says that, if you read the scripture, he creates all kinds of animals. It's almost as if he was, how about this? Adam, you like this? No? How about that? Like this? It's okay, you know. And he goes down a list, and Adam names them all, but still, the Bible says there was no helper just right for him. God is God. He could have created anyone or anything. Who was just right for man? Woman. So God creates Eve. And in chapter 2, verse 23, it says, at last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and the two and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And then in chapter 4, we read, now Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. See, God created sex. But did you notice his design? One man, one woman, in the covenant of marriage. That's God's design. Anything else, any other version, is not God's design. It's our design. It's not the healthy salad. It's the unhealthy choices. How do we get to these unhealthy choices? Because we have someone else who rules this world named Satan. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 that Satan's purpose, his only ability, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what Satan tries to do. And he loves to take things which God created for good and twist them, use them for evil. Like sex. God created it to be beautiful and amazing between a husband and a wife in the covenant of marriage. Satan twists sex into pornography, adultery, pedophilia, fornication, sex with whomever, whenever we want. Living biblically, however, means following God's design. Not, as God says in Leviticus, having sex with your mother or your sister or your aunt or your daughter-in-law. Incest, sodomy, sex with animals. Those are all things the Egyptians and the Canaanites did. People living biblically do not. If we want to live biblically, we follow God's plan. What else does God tell us to do here in the fine print? Well, in Leviticus chapter 19, the very next chapter, he says in verse 11, "Do not steal. Do not deceive or cheat one another. Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely." What does that mean? That means we don't run around saying, "I will do it, Carlos. I swear to God. I will." No, 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 no. We don't do that. Do not defraud, or rob your neighbor. In other words, be an honest person. Be an honest person. You shouldn't have to say, "I swear to God, my right hand to God." We say this all the time, don't we? Well, let me be honest with you. Like what, that one time? So all the rest of the time, I gotta worry about. But this time, you're being honest with me. Let me tell you the truth. When your mouths are moving, if you're a follower of Christ, you should be telling the truth. As far as swearing to God, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows, you must not carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say, do not make vows." I swear to God. "Do not say, 'By heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, 'By the earth,' because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, 'By Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, 'By my head,'" or I don't know who would say that. "I promise I will, by my head." I don't get it. Must be an old colloquialism. "For you can't turn one hair white or black," just a simple, "Yes, I will," or "No, I won't." Anything beyond this is the evil one. What is he saying? He's saying a Christian. For a Christian, our word should be our bond. Period, end of story. It's not always easy to do. But when we say something, we should mean it. And when we mean it, we should do it. We should follow through. Look, I've been doing this now for 21 years. And one of the things you do a lot as a pastor or anybody working in a church, you work with a lot of volunteers, right? A lot of you here are volunteers. Churches couldn't function without volunteers. Unpaid saints that come and use their gifts and talents to help the ministry of the Lord in a church. I know they don't get paid. I know church volunteers often work a full-time job and this is what they do extra. But it's vitally important for someone who is paid or not paid, if they say, "I am going to do this," that they do it. Because everybody else is counting on it. We're all cogs in a wheel. If we say we're going to do something and don't, do it, then we're not living biblically. We should be people of our word. Proverbs 12, verse 22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who speak the truth." There was a time, even in this country, where you could make a business deal on a handshake. That's all it took, a handshake. I know this firsthand because I always heard the story about my Polish grandfather. My Polish grandfather's name was Edward Pianowski. And Edward Pianowski had a lot of faults. He was an alcoholic and had a lot of struggles in his life for which he needed mercy and grace. But there's one thing Edward Pianowski had in his community: integrity. Everybody knew when he gave you his word, he held to it. He purchased a dairy farm, Mountain Dairy, on a handshake. He went and got a mortgage at a bank on his reputation and a handshake. Anybody had gotten a mortgage before? You see the stack of papers, the fine print that you have to read? Anybody read it? You sign 17 times, you initial 34 other times. He bought a piece of property, a large piece of property with cows and a barn and stuff on a handshake. That's gone. We don't even pay attention, it seems, that much to honesty anymore. I mean, I don't know a person who hasn't said at one point or another, and will say it again this November, all politicians lie, right? So we're watching a television commercial of a particular person who's running for a particular office, and they're telling you what they're going to do, and you're listening to them, and you're watching them on television, and you know they are lying to you. You know. And you're going to go vote for them anyway. Because all politicians lie. Like it's just an accepted thing. We don't even think about it anymore. That's so sad. Imagine if Christians had a rock solid reputation for honesty, that if somebody in town or somebody needed something, they knew if they wanted the truth, if they could get somebody to follow through, they could go to a church, they could point out to somebody they knew was following Christ and trust them. Imagine if people knew you can make a deal with Christians on a handshake. Wouldn't that be awesome? That's what it should be. Living biblically means telling the truth. Doing so lives beyond us. Proverbs 20, verse 17. "The godly walk with integrity. Blessings are their, blessed are their children who follow them." Children, these little beautiful little children, they are sponges. And they soak up everything that goes on around them. If you do not think they are paying attention as they're doing this on their phone, as they're playing their video games, and you just think they're in la-la, they are not. They are listening. They are observing. They are taking in everything that's going on around them. It forms who they are as people. And I tell you what, if you come across a child who is disrespectful, who is yelling all the time, using profanity and physical, I can tell you where they learned it: at home. Children mimic what they see and hear. They deal with stress, they deal with conflict, exactly how they see it dealt with in their home. If they are constantly using profanity, it's because they hear it. all the time. My son is going to learn how to treat women and eventually his wife. My daughter is going to learn how to treat men and eventually her husband, and she is also going to learn how she is going to allow herself to be treated by watching what happens in her home. Children are sponges. And guess what? When you're a parent, and I know parents, can you give me an amen on this one? You are never off the clock. 24/7. 24/7. They may be in the other room. They may be watching SpongeBob. Do they still watch SpongeBob? Yeah. Okay. Bob the Builder, I don't know. Dora the Explorer. Okay. I didn't reference Thundercats, so I'm good to go. So they're in the other room watching cartoons, and you're fixing something in the sink, and you go, bam. Oh! They heard it. Somebody cuts you off on the road. They're in the back seat, not paying attention. They listen when you speak on the phone. They see how you treat your husband, how she treats his, how he treats his wife. You're on 24/7. And I hate to break it to you, but it's my job to tell the truth. Honesty and integrity are not natural. Psalm 51:5, I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, every single one of us in the womb carries the stain of original sin. We are sinners before we even come into this world. And I know you look at these angelic little children and say, how could they be a sinner? Give them time. We're blessed. We're having a baby boom here. We get all kinds of little kids. Love it. Love it. And for the most part, they're wonderful. But picture this. You're at home. Frank, you're at home all by yourself. You're watching JoJo this day, right? Mom and Walter are off having fun. And you walk into the dining room, and there's crayon all over the wall. Right? A picture just for you. And you look down at little angelic JoJo, and you say, did you do that? And she looks up at her daddy, she says, no. There's two people in the house. Right? It was Frank. People are voting for you, Frank. I don't know. Did Frank and Karen teach JoJo to lie? No. That was in her from the moment God conceived her in her mother's womb. It was just the first time it got to show. Honesty and integrity are not natural. They are learned traits. Living biblically means being a person of honesty and integrity. It means do not steal, do not deceive or cheat one another, do not swear falsely, do not defraud or rob your neighbor. So, sex, lies, lobster. We've talked about sex and lies. What's this stuff about lobster? Well, that fine print actually comes out in chapter 11 of Leviticus, where the Lord gives Moses instructions about which foods are okay to eat and which ones are not. And depending upon the size font of your Bible, I have large, giant print for old eyes like me, the rest of the fine print and Leviticus goes on for 91 pages. 91 pages of fine print. But anyway, in chapter 11, he makes a list of clean and unclean animals. Land animals chew their cud and have a split hoof, like cattle and deer and goats and sheep, seafood that have both fins and scales, like bluegill, grouper, and cod. Certain birds, including chickens, doves, and ducks. Even some insects, like grasshoppers and locusts, are all listed and considered to be clean. You can eat them. So next week, for breakfast for the kids, Renee's going to make locusts, just so you all know. No, just kidding. Unclean animals were land animals that did not chew their cud or did not have a split hoof, like pigs, cats and dogs, horses, donkeys, and rats. Seafood lacking either fins or scales, like shellfish and lobster, oysters and catfish. Some birds like owls, hawks, and vultures, and other animals such as reptiles and amphibians, they were not clean. You weren't supposed to eat them. No lobster? No! I love lobster and shrimp. And that chowder looks pretty good too. Oh well. I always skip the salad and I go right for the lobster. Now why? Why does God make these seemingly random lists of foods that we can and can't eat? There are many competing theories as to why he has all these restrictions. One of them is sanitary reasons. Shellfish are bottom feeders, right? They walk along the bottom of the ocean, so they just kind of get all the leftovers, right? They're like your garbage disposals. So they're eating all the garbage. Maybe we don't want to eat things that eat garbage. I don't care, they're still delicious. Cattle, deer, goats, and sheep, they eat grain, right? They eat wheat. Whereas owls, hawks, vultures, they're all carnivores. They eat meat, and oftentimes when they kill to eat the meat, the blood is still in the meat, which is a no-no. Right? Can't have blood in it. So maybe that's one of the reasons that he made this list of food you can't eat, food you can't eat. There's another theory. The unclean animals were forbidden because they were totems. You know, like a totem pole? They were totems. A totem is an animal that is worshipped as a deity, like the clan of the cave bear. All right. Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, was a member of the serpent clan in Canaan. I had a theory. I call it the Van Halen theory. Anybody familiar with the M&M contract for Van Halen? I know Nick is, right? Years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, when Van Halen was really big, they used to have this contract you had to sign to have them come play your stadium. And there was a little rider in the contract that said, in the dressing room, you had to put out a bowl of M&Ms for them with all the brown M&Ms removed. All the rest of the M&Ms they would eat, they don't want the brown M&Ms. And people made fun of them for years. What's with the brown? They all taste the same. They didn't even eat the M&Ms. That wasn't the point. The point was, if you put a bowl of M&Ms in their dressing room and there were no brown ones in, what does that show? You read the contract. If there's a bowl of M&Ms and the brown ones are in there, you didn't even read the contract. And they did that because they had an event where something went wrong with the rigging and there was something fell. And it could have been a seriously injured person on their team because somebody didn't follow through with the safety issues. They wanted to make sure the safety issues were all followed line by line. So they put that little rider in that, making sure people read the contract. So I don't know. I got this Van. I don't think God was thinking of Van Halen, but you know, you have this list in here, kind of gets us to make sure we read the list, right? Can I eat this? I'm not sure. Let me read the list. I don't know. That's my theory anyway, the Van Halen theory. Whatever reason God makes this list, the overall theme is God wanted to separate Israelites from the neighboring nations, the Arabians, the Canaanites, the Egyptians. Whatever they do, you do not do. You do not follow the ways of the world, you follow the ways of the Lord. Now, as far as eating, God only gave us this one body, right? We're going to get a new resurrected body, and hopefully mine's going to be much thinner than this one. But we only get the one body while we're here on earth. I understand that. So we should honor him by taking care of it and eating healthy. I know it's a bit ironic coming from the guy that had a fried Twinkie, but sometimes you don't practice what you preach, but anyway. Now, luckily, God has lifted the eating restrictions, the food restrictions. In Acts chapter 10, there's this great story where Peter had lunch, and then he went up on the roof to take a nap. And while he's asleep, he has this vision, this sheet lowers down to him. And inside the sheet are all these reptiles and amphibians and all these things that are on the don't eat list. And a voice rings out and says to him, "Peter, get up, kill, and eat them." And Peter's like, "Whoa, no, Lord, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have said are unclean." But the voice replies, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The resurrection cleaned, made filthy things clean again, like us. Okay? Like lobster. We can now eat it. All right? Now, the restrictions that I talked about on sex, the restrictions I talked about in lying, there's no corresponding teaching in the New Testament that gets us out of those. They still apply. But at least now we can eat lobster. Praise the Lord. So, what does all this Old Testament fine print stuff have to do with living biblically today, you might ask? Well, God is a God of order, not chaos. There was order in the world back when he created it. That's why we called it paradise. It was awesome, right? There was no disease, there was no death, there was no violence, there was no natural disasters, there were no earthquakes and tsunamis and floods, and it was paradise. Well, when we sinned, the earth, we got kicked out of paradise. Right? We live in a fallen world now. We live in chaos. So if you don't think we live in chaos, watch the news, for crying out loud. We live in chaos. So God gives his laws. It was meant to bring order in a chaotic, fallen world. He's saying, "I created sex. I did not design it to be chaotic. I designed it to have order, husband, wife, marriage." Satan, who loves to take what God creates for good and twists it, tells us, anything goes as long as it feels good and nobody gets hurt. Living biblically, however, means following God's design. Lies. Living biblically means honoring God with our actions and our words. Ephesians 4:29, do not use foul or abusive language. Let everything, not most things, everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Satan, he says, go ahead and lie. Lie about how old your child is in order to get the cheaper admission. How common is that? I'm guilty of that before I got saved. That's about as common as all politicians lie. It's almost like permission, because all politicians lie. I can too. Politicians are our standard. We want the cheaper admission. Your child, I am sure, will understand When you say to them, just tell the lady you're 9 years old today. Remember, honesty and integrity are learned behaviors. They don't come natural. We need to learn from God and then teach our children. Lobster, well, there may not be clean and unclean animals anymore, but even Satan tries to twist food. God created food for good. Lasagna. Bear's barbecue. Bacon. And Satan twists it into anorexia, bulimia, obesity. Take something that God made for good and twist, because Satan can't create anything. He doesn't have the ability to make anything. He only has the ability to steal, kill, and destroy things that are already made. He's not a creator. He is created. There's only one creator. So he needs to take what God created and twist it. Now, as far as the food goes, Jesus had something to say about that too. In Matthew 15, verse 17, he says, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. That's true, right? We only borrow it for a while and then we get rid of it. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Christians should be truth tellers. We should not use foul and abusive language, absolutely. We should always be encouraging and helpful with our words. Yes, we should eat healthy, but it is far more important to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth than what goes in it. God is not really all that interested in what's in your stomach. He's far more concerned with what's in your heart. These were the rules and regulations that the Old Testament covenant shared to live biblically. You needed to follow those. Well, next week, after 1,200 years of following this covenant, God reveals to the people of the children of Israel that a new and improved covenant will soon be available. What? You mean we're going to be able to live biblically a different way? That doesn't seem fair. Like, I'm a former Roman Catholic, right? Remember, we used to not be able to eat meat on Friday. If you ate meat on Friday, you were going to hell until they changed the rule. And I always thought to myself, these poor schleps that are in hell before the rule changed, looking up going, it was a cheeseburger. I was weak. They changed the rule. So these Israelites are now going, wait a minute, there's a new covenant coming? There's a new way? Hey, am I still going to be able to eat lobster? Come back next week and find out. Let us pray.